Hey everyone, welcome to another Camera Dads. I am Simon.
And I am Phil. Good to see you, Simon.
Good to see you as well, Phil. And tonight, or today, whenever you're listening to this, we are going to be talking about taking photos of our kids and our families when families get together. It seems like kind of a basic topic, but Phil and I actually have a lot to talk about. And we are also curious to know what you think about this topic. So if you are listening to the podcast, go to cameradads.com and leave us a comment if you want to. If you're on YouTube, leave us a comment below. We want to hear your input, and we appreciate those who take the time to comment, because everyone's got different takes on this. And Phil and I are glad to share what we think, but we always love hearing from you all as well. So Phil, tonight talking about taking photos of family, friends, or family and kids when families get together. Phil, you recently came to see us down in Oklahoma.
I did. And yeah, just you giving me this idea of this topic, you know, it opens up a lot of memories and techniques and things that I honestly at the time I don't think I pay attention to, you know.
Kind of
recap what typically happens when I come to visit you or when you come to visit us. We don't typically have a formal family plan of a trip.
No, not really.
Right.
No.
There's kind of two ways about having a family gathering or a family trip. You know, one is, I'm being overly generic, but one is no agenda. You're just there to visit. Mm-hmm. And the other would be, you know, you're going to, well, let's take Disney as an example, like a Disney World. You go there and you need to see this park and this thing and do this and do that. And if you don't, then you're not keeping your schedule. You're not seeing everything maybe you paid for or whatever. Mm-hmm. When you and I, or pretty much anybody in our extended family gets together, it tends to be that first type where we just...
It's more of a unstructured hangout time.
It's totally unstructured hangout time. And that is what, you know, that's what I really like. And, you know, we've talked about in the past about how we've both grown up around photography. And we have both put a lot of work into our own sort of photographic career, is not the right word, growth.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm thinking about, you know, when my family comes to visit you, you know, so there are four, five, six, nine of us and four adults, five kids, and just a lot of good chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always trying to capture pictures. Like, that is always on the front of my mind, or yeah, close to it.
Me too.
But well, something that I realized is I don't often, no, I want to say that. I think there was a while where when we would get together, we being any of family gatherings of this type,
mm-hmm.
I had sort of an internal mental obligation to have my DSLR.
You know, I had the same thing. I thought, all right, well, I've got the DSLR. I own one. And so I've sort of assumed the mantle of the documentarian. I'm going to be that guy. And people are counting on me to be that guy. Mm-hmm. Who's taking photos of the kids running around, or taking photos of the kids playing a game, or taking photos of dinner, or taking whatever it is. I feel like, all right, I've carved out this space for myself, and now I got to meet this obligation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that's what your experience is.
No, but that is totally something that happens where do you ever get, after a trip like that, do you ever feel like there were no pictures of Simon?
You know, I don't actually. One or two of me is usually enough. And I used to kind of think that 95% of my pictures would be of my wife and kids and you guys or whoever is coming to visit. And I would think like, man, you know, I'm not in a lot of these, but I'm actually... I've decided like I don't really need to be in a lot of them, and maybe that's not fair. Like maybe I should be in more, but I am by far in the least of any of the photos that I take, because I don't know. I'm just comfortable being the guy behind the camera and kind
Okay.
of blending in. But I definitely know what you mean. And that's one of the components of this is because we're talking about like taking pictures of family, kids and family when families get together. And that's always present. Someone is always going to be taking the photo and not in it, unless it's a group selfie, but that's not really the same as just sort of documenting the experience. So yeah, I definitely know what you mean.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on that. I think I've come to a spot where I generally don't mind being the guy that takes photos, but I don't. It's actually not very often anymore that I'm feel bad that I wasn't in very very many. But one thing that's helped is my wife has actually been more not direct or more particular about paying attention to that, and she'll make sure to use her phone or take our camera if I'm not using it and take photos of me with the kids a little bit more than she would have used to, and she does that because I've asked her to, because I feel like it's kind of a fine line to walk. I don't feel like I don't come home sad, like, oh, dad wasn't in any of these photos. It's not that. It's more of a, I wish that I had a photo of me doing this or
Sure.
that. It's like there's a little bit that's missing, but I
Well, let
don't
me
know if there's
ask
a
you.
good way to balance that and get photos of everybody. Obviously, we're not talking like a wedding where you hire a photographer. We're talking about just casual family gatherings. So I couldn't, part of that I don't want to think is like selfish where, oh, I have to get photos of everybody doing everything all the time, including me. No, that's not the point. Is the point, I'm rambling a bit, but is the point of these visits to take photos of the kids? No, the point of seeing your family is just to visit your family.
Well, so there's three questions that I kind of want to explore, and this is sort of a guide or a map for our viewers slash listeners. So there's three questions. The first is, what do you use to take photos of these scenarios? So that's question number one. What gear do you use? Question number two, which is a little more important, is how do you know what to take photos of? And like, how do you know? Like, is this situation worthy of a picture? Is it not? What makes something worthy of taking a photo when we're just hanging out? And then the third question, which I'm curious to hear from others as well, is what do you do with all this afterwards? Do they sit on your cloud storage and you never look at them again? Do they show up on a frame? Like, what happens to them? So let me ask you that first question, Phil, and then I'm curious your thoughts, and then I'll chime in with my own. But like, number one is, what do you use? And we've got the gamut. Like, we both have pretty nice DSLRs with different lenses. We've also got phones, and my phone is basic. Like, I have an iPhone SE, and the camera is pretty bad by today's standards, but it's fine for me. So like, what do you use? What are you? You're hanging out with family. Family's getting together. What do you use to take photos?
I've actually found myself using my phone more in the last couple of years than I think I did for a while. I think there was definitely a period where I felt obligated to have my DSLR with me, and that was a burden because then I'm concerned with, do I have, it's just casually hanging out, or maybe we're walking down to the school a couple blocks away to play kickball, or we're going to the park to play frisbee golf, just pretty low key things. Part of me would be burdened with what lens do I have on this thing, because I'm not going to bring a bunch of lenses and go out there and change lenses mid activity. These aren't, this isn't like sports football photography where you have to be super particular about what we want to do, like we talked about last time or the time before.
Do you bring the prime lens, but then you got to run around back and forth with your feet? Do you bring the zoom lens, but then It's big and chunky. Do you bring like a wide angle, but then you might as well just have your phone. Like I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's exactly what goes through my mind. And so what I've kind of settled on, and this will continue to evolve, would be I'll bring the DSLR with me and I'll decide ahead of time, just put one lens on it and you'll be fine. Whatever your lens you got is going to be fine. Unless I choose something that's completely like inappropriate for what we're doing. Like I wouldn't put a huge long zoom lens on it for just hanging out at the park or something. But if it's just casual stuff, I'll either put a 35 on there and call it good, or I have a macro lens. It's either 100 millimeter, 110, I forget, which is a very versatile lens. I really like my macro lens because I can use it when we're out and about at these, just hanging out like that. If the kids are playing soccer and we're just talking, I can use something like that to take pictures both of the kids, or because I like doing macro shots, insects, leaves, pine cones, that kind of thing. That lens lets me do both without worrying about having to switch lenses
Well,
mid
and what
activity.
kind of, you said you have use your phone a lot more. What kind of phone do you have?
I think
Or how many lenses does it have?
it has three. It's an
Okay,
iPhone.
so.
It looks like this. It's an iPhone 14. Hey, there you are.
Hello.
It's
Like
so it's 2 years old. And
mine
it's
is
got
like this. See, it's got one lens and a flash and a Things Tom Like sticker on it. That's our brother's YouTube
that's a
channel.
good looking dude right
I know,
there.
look at that guy there. So my phone is definitely not a fancy phone. But the camera, I mean, it's fine. Like I will use it to take snapshots and it works. You got a much better, like three lenses. I assume one is like a zoom lens and
I don't know. I honestly don't know what they are. I didn't get that iPhone for its cameras.
okay.
There are people that do. I got that phone because it was the best offer on a trade-in deal 2 years ago.
Okay.
That kind of thing. And it's definitely good enough. It's a 2-year-old. It's a 2-year-old iPhone 14 Pro. And so it's got the best of their stuff from 2 years ago. And it takes plenty good photos most of the time.
So, do you ever suffer? Suffer's not the wrong word. Do you ever get that DSLR guilt? Like we're hanging out together. Kids are playing Twister or swing in the backyard, and I think, oh man, all I got's my phone. I should be using my DSLR.
Sometimes. Actually, I mean, I use my phone a lot, and I kind of alluded to that earlier, that it is definitely good enough. And there's a lot of times where if I just catch something completely off guard, like our kids, when they most of them play some kind of an instrument. And so we tend to visit you guys around my birthday. It happens because of our
And then
children's
my
fall
birthday too.
break, right? Because of fall break, and then
And
because
spring
I'm in
break.
October and you're March. So I'll tell a little story. When we come down in October, all the kids for the last couple of years have practiced and then played Happy Birthday on what? A combination of violin, cello, flute, and maybe guitar, depending
Something
on
like that,
the
yeah.
mood. And I can just sneak around the corner and kind of watch them practicing doing that and just take a picture with my phone. I don't have to plan anything. And that's what's really nice about the phone. Like, it's zero planning. You just want to take some pictures of something that's happening right then. I use my phone a ton for that. And I don't need to worry about it's a balance of do I need to worry about making sure this is a really high quality photo? Or is the lighting right? Is my aperture correct? No, just you're going to get a good photo and it's going to be good enough. And so take it.
I'm of a similar mind in a lot of respects. I've got the closet with DSLRs in it. I got the lenses, and I've got the phone. But my we this is like a throwback to some who may have remembered this from like 2019 or something. My primary camera, whenever we're hanging out anytime there's people involved, whether you guys come visit, we come visit there, Christmas, Thanksgiving, vacation, summer, by far my primary camera is this bad boy here, my Fuji X100F. Because this for me is the best of, it's the best casual hanging out camera that I'm aware of. Only now they're this is the F. I think it's the fourth version of it. They're now in the sixth version of it. But this camera is it's a DSLR. It's got a APS-C sensor in it, so you get really good photos in any light, and you get really shallow depth of field if you dial the aperture down to f2, and it can go anywhere. So this is like if I didn't have this, I probably would have I probably have a better phone. I probably have like a three lens phone or something like that. The autofocus on this is not is it's not great, and it's got some quirks. One of the dials is actually broken because I've used it so much. But this is by far my hanging out with family and people camera. It's terrible for sports, it's terrible for wildlife, but it's phenomenal for just hanging out with people. And that, like, honestly, if the question is, because I guess I asked it, what do you use? It sounds like both of us use a combination of things, but your general fallback, like the one that you use most of the time, is your phone. And for me, the one that I use generally most of the time is the Fuji. But I would say whatever helps you get the photo that you're looking for is perfectly valid. And if it, for me, if the kid, if I know that the kids are across the street playing frisbee golf in the neighbor's field, I will go and get my DSLR and know that I have to lug it around now. Like, okay, I've now burdened myself with this albatross around my neck, but it's for a good purpose. Like, it's for a good reason.
Yeah, you're taking on a little bit of a burden on purpose to make sure you can do that. Yeah, I knew you were going to mention your Fuji, and it kind of made me realize that. Yeah, I don't carry a pocket camera. I never really have, not for ever actually. I use my phone going back 10, 15 years, and I've always had a big bulky zoom camera of some kind. So I guess it does. For some of it, the decision of what phone I buy does what how good its cameras are does play into that, because it's going to be the thing that I'll take pictures with, most of the time, because it's the one that I have in my pocket. Where in your case, if you're going to be doing anything where you might take a picture, odds are you'll have that Fuji with you, especially on the, like we're to get back to these casual family gatherings, where the grown-ups are playing cards or having a beer playing poker, and the kids are, in the other room playing video games, whatever. That's you can decide a little bit what am I going to have with me? But in your case, it's just this little pocket camera, but it's a very, very good one.
Kind of
And that's
always
on
with me.
purpose. And you don't need to factor into your phone buying decision, does this thing have a good enough camera for me to use? Because for you, it sounds like a camera doesn't play into your phone purchasing decision.
No, not yet anyway. Maybe if the Fuji ever breaks, maybe I'll change that. But yeah, for now, Fuji covers all my bases for just hanging out. But you raise an interesting question, which actually leads into the next question of how do you know what to take a picture of? Because when and if you want to get into the why do we take pictures, like that's fine. But when I don't take a lot of pictures of just daily life. Most of our days we have routines. Like I go to work, my wife's at work, kids are at school, we come home, I make dinner. Like we have these routines. And when we have a break from that, when we're visiting family, now it's something different. And it's like moments in time that I want to capture. And so, but not all of it. I mean, do I really want 25 pictures of the kids pouring a bowl of cereal? I don't know. So that let me ask you that question and I'll share my thoughts as well. But like, how do you know what to take a picture of? And We our families hang out because we live a couple states apart. We're not around each other all the time. Some families live in the same town and they're always around each other. So your calculation might be different, but for us, like occasionally getting together with family, how do you know what's picture worthy? What do you take a picture of?
That's a good question, and I think there's a lot that goes into that. In part of that, I think in our case is we grew up with a very photographic family. Our dad has taken photos as long as we've been alive. We would, when we were kids, sometimes we'd sit in the basement and he'd pull out the old slide projector. Mom would make
Oh,
popcorn and he'd
yeah.
throw on the slides, and we'd look at slides of the resort we were at when we were kids, from when you and I were like 5 years old.
Until the bulb burnt out, then you got to get a spare bulb for the projector.
And then at our, when we were younger, at our extended family get-togethers, there was a lot of cameras.
Yeah, even though it
That
was
was just,
filmed, there were still a lot of cameras.
yeah. Oh yeah. People just burn through that stuff. So I think part of that is kind of in our DNA a little bit, maybe. So I'm saying we're skewed, I think. At least having grown up in that world of someone's always got a camera. There's always a couple of someone's with a camera. And I think the best way I can answer is specifically, how do I know what I'm going to take a picture of, or why am I taking a picture of something? It's honestly just, it's a gut reaction.
Okay.
It's a gut feeling of noticing something. I think, having grown up in that environment where photography is at least occupies some part of my brain, kind of at all times. And then you put that in with having been a father for 15 years in 2 weeks.
That's
Happy
crazy to think
birthday.
about, man.
Happy birthday, kid. I think at this point, I have sort of built up, I don't know, an algorithm in my mind that just sort of, I can hone in on something that's happening in that room or in the other room or outside that I want to be able to capture. And I can't necessarily say, there's a formula, or you have to take pictures of this type of stuff and not that type of stuff. I think it's going to be different for everyone. It's absolutely an experience-based decision for me.
What do you mean
You
by
know,
that?
I think I've gone through this phase of take pictures of everything. Even one back when I was shooting on film when I was a kid. Burning through film and then having to pay to process it, then you learn pretty quick to dial it back. And then I bounced the other way when I started getting into digital and effectively unlimited storage and everything. Don't know. It's just kind of, at this point, it's honestly just sort of a gut reaction.
Okay.
But I think part of it is that I've got a little part of my brain dialed in at all times during family gatherings. Sometimes even just at home, with the five of us. Something's happening, and that would be cool to snap a picture of, and maybe you can show somebody later.
Yeah.
And there's not really a formula to it.
Yeah.
Some things, I think there are things I've learned that people would expect you to take photos of,
So
where
that's interesting. Yeah.
there's like this expectation in your mind of, oh, the kids are riding bikes in the street, and you live on a very low traffic street, so they ride bikes out there. So part of it is like, oh, you would expect to go out and take pictures of the kids doing wheelies and stuff because they're doing a certain thing. But there's also sometimes you don't have to do that. You can just go and just
Yeah.
be there, and you don't have to take photos of things that some part of you expects you to. I don't think I'm getting this across very well.
Well, so the way you phrase that about the expectations, that's I find that interesting because I've had situations where we're looking back on a family visit and then someone will say, "Oh, remember that time when we'll just keep with your situation, remember that time when the kids were riding bikes in the street? Oh yeah, I remember that. We got photos of that, right? No, I forgot to. I didn't take any pictures. And there's I've had that happen a couple times enough that I almost feel compelled to document those types of things. I think for me, I almost see like when family comes to visit, I've taken this attitude of like treat the weekend as a series of short vignettes. And I kind of strive, and I don't know if it's a conscious thing or not. I don't think it's a conscious thing, but I kind of strive for having just a little slice of life of the various short vignettes that compose the entire weekend. So kids are playing to a casual listener, you might not think our visits are very fun, but they're actually very fun. We have a great time. So kids are playing Twister in the living room. I might run in and just stand on one side, take a few photos, stand on the other side, take a few photos, and then put my camera away. And there was a time years ago when I would be like, I need to be there. I need to be present for the whole thing so I can document it in great detail. And I've learned over the years that I don't really need all those. What I need is something to jog my memory. So 5 years down the line, I can say, oh, I do remember when they were playing Twister. Great. We've got like five pictures of it. And if someone's grilling outside, all right, we'll take a snap a picture of that. If the kids are swinging on the tree, playing on the ropes, if we go play frisbee golf, whatever we do, in my mind, I'm like, okay, if this were like in high school, you would read like a collection of short stories or something, where like a Ray Bradbury book. If this weekend were a collection of short stories, I would want like just a little snap slice of life of each one of these short events that make up the weekend. But I've also learned that it's okay if I don't. And that's been hard for me to get there over the years of if the kids are doing something and I don't take a picture, I try not to beat myself up over it and overanalyze it later on. Like, well, why didn't I take a picture of X, Y, and Z? Well, I know why, because I was busy talking with Phil, talking about jobs, talking about life. That's why I didn't take a picture. And sort of like coming to that mental place where it's okay. Like I've given myself mental permission to not be constantly documenting. But I still don't know like what's the right thing. We're going on, we're going to see you guys in 2 weeks. We're going to be up in Lincoln. And this is going to be running through my mind. Like, how many pictures do I take? And it also, this is another component of it, Phil. Other family visits, not just you guys. And you guys have family visit, and you go elsewhere, like Colorado, to visit family. I try to be aware of the social context, because not everyone appreciates the constant documenting.
Yes, that's a
And
really
it's
good
tough.
point.
Like with you guys, I kind of know where the line is, like what we're getting. But if we have friends over, like we had some friends over, 2 or 3 weeks ago, you just friends in town, kids are playing in the yard. I think I took one photo the whole time, and it was with my cell phone, because I don't know where the line is for those particular friends. And I don't want to have a deep conversation. Like, let's sit down and flow chart out how this visit's going to go. So I know exactly when it's okay to take a picture and when it's going to make anyone uncomfortable, and I'll put my camera away and all that stuff. So it's I've
Yeah,
never figured
that's.
that out. I've never figured out where the line is for non-family members. If it's friends, I'm pretty good on where the line is. But if it's family members, like my immediate family, like you guys, I feel like we're all okay. Or at least I haven't been told otherwise. But if it's friends that we don't have that shared background, I actually go way on the other side. Like I err on very few pictures, because I value the relationship more than the memory. And I don't want my constant photo taking to be getting in the way of that relationship. And oh, let's go to Simon and his family's house. Oh, I bet he's gonna have that camera out again. Ugh, like, why does he always do that? So I don't know. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. You know,
Okay.
you jogged my mind on a couple of things there. When you and I are together, and our families are together, there's like an unspoken agreement that pretty much everything is fair game. Like, as long as you're not following me to the bathroom with your camera, then I would expect
Haven't so far.
it, not yet. Then I would expect you, and I think you would expect me to take pictures of just about everything, and it would be fine. And I think that's how it works for you and I. And I think I go back again to what we grew up with, that we are, in a sense, documentarians that enjoy taking those photos and then looking at them at some point in the future. And I know we're going to talk about that in a minute. And it's funny. Two things. In the environment where it's not someone super comfortable with that, like you and I are, you know, if it's just a different family or casual friends, or you know, you're having the football team over for an after game thing or whatever, I typically do kind of what you do, err on the side of caution. Don't take quite as many unless I have a specific task to do of shooting photos, which in those types of situations, usually I don't. I think the safest way for me to do that is to kind of do what they do. Just kind of
Yeah, Phil, I
see what
like it.
other parents do. If I take my phone out because I see the kids doing something, like, I don't know, making water balloons or something, but nobody else, none of the other parents is even
Sure.
watching that, then I might hesitate a little bit and think, nah, it's fine. Don't worry about
Phil,
it.
that is brilliant. Like
Oh,
in
I know.
essence,
I
it's
know.
it yeah.
No, I just.
It's the golden rule. It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Take pictures of others as you would have them take pictures of you.
Okay, then.
And
All right. Okay, so here's my other one. And it actually plays into that too.
right.
When we were kids, you know, our dad took a lot of photos, and he still does. And that's where we got all this from. But I can see and hear in my head very clearly. Let's say it's a Christmas time. I don't know. And can you hear dad doing his photos of something and mom going, John?
Yeah, I can. I can.
Where
Because
she's
he
like,
crossed the line.
why would you take a photo of that? I can hear our mom saying
Like, I'm
that.
washing dishes. Why are you taking a photo of this?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But there, you know, so our dad crosses that line. I think, I don't know, I don't want to talk down about him at all because
Yeah.
he's great and he taught us a
Great.
ton of other stuff. But he also taught me, and I think you, that there is a line and you can absolutely cross it. And he does. And I think we do too. I've
I
crossed that line
know.
many times.
Guilty as charged.
So, you know, I go back to, I think my answer in one word in, you know, in my early 40s of how do you know what to take photos of? Instinct. You can't just suppress 65 million years of gut instinct.
So I'm gonna, before we wrap up this question and go on to our final question, I'm gonna insert one extra thing in here, which is I have made a conscious choice for the past several years, when we're hanging out with family and friends, particularly that we don't see very often. So not in town friends that we see on a decent basis, but family and friends who we don't see very often, we're hanging out, I make it a conscious choice to take a group photo.
Oh
And I get my tripod out and I will go to the, if people are here, I have a spot in the neighbor's field that we'll go to. If we're elsewhere, we'll stand wherever. Because I think I've learned that I really appreciate, of all the candids and everything that are great, I also really appreciate a posed, everyone smiling and looking at the camera group photo. I don't want that to be the only evidence of the weekend, but I've learned that there is a lot of value for me in having that everyone is looking nice, looking at the camera. We know it's artificial. We know we were told to say cheese, but everyone's there, everyone's present and looking in the same direction and smiling. But I also ask permission, and that's one thing I've learned over the years. I used to just sort of like make it happen, like, all right, everyone, after dinner, we're doing a group photo, and I didn't discuss it with anyone in advance. Now I try to check with at least the grown-ups. Hey, do you mind if after dinner we run out and take a group photo? It'll be quick. You don't need to put shoes on. We'll just run over and take a photo. And in my experience, people also appreciate it, unless either people don't and they're lying or they just don't tell me. But that asking for permission is not something I used to do. I used to just sort of like command people, like, all right, everyone, you're here, so we're gonna go do this thing. And it's not a good way to build relationships. But I just to kind of wrap up that one section, unless you have something else to say, the group photo, I've learned there's a lot of value in that.
There is. So I think there's two very important things to do to keep in mind when you're having these gatherings, casual type stuff is do the candid photos, Oh, someone took a bite of their food and it was too spicy, and other you know
Yeah, that's
now they're
great.
coughing or laughing really hard, or or someone belched and now someone's looking funny. You just snap a pic, do those, because that's just fun. And I think in the moment those are fun memories. And on that group photo thing, one thing that I've done also intentionally is just a group selfie.
Oh,
There are times where we will have a family member over for dinner that we don't see very often. They might live here in town, but everybody's busy. And so, once a month, once every 2 months, we will invite some family over for dinner. And in between the goofing off and the eating, I'll just be like, all right, everybody, look over here. And I'll do the thing where I hold my phone up and I'm like, all right, are we all in there? And go. And everybody just kind of makes a face. You click it, then we go back to eating. I think that the reason I thought of that is because you were talking about the group photo. And you can certainly do the pose group photo like you like to do. You can do the goofy one where, all right, I promise this is the last serious one. Everybody say cheese. Then we'll do a goofy one where the kids can make a funny face and jump
Right.
on each
Dad
other's
brings
backs.
out the
And
remote control fart machine.
exactly. You had me put a cat on someone's back when
Yes,
we
the
were there,
neighbor's
and then
cat.
it immediately jumped off. The photo didn't work. But yeah, do those. I think those are very important in some form. No one's going to judge you because you didn't take a nice portrait with everybody, button down shirts, whatnot. But yeah, I think that in some form or fashion, getting a group photo is a good idea.
All right, so now we're in the home stretch here, Phil. Final question. What do you do with all these pictures?
Well, I store them in an Adobe Lightroom subscription. Not sponsored by Adobe at all. I know we've talked about this in the
But we'll
past.
gladly take a
We'll
sponsorship.
take it. Yeah. I will gladly admit to taking too many photos. I always have, and I struggle with deleting them. I have a very hard time deleting photos. I struggle with what to do with them. Because I take a lot of them, they get dumped into an archive of some kind. In my current phase in life, it happens to be Adobe Lightroom. For many, many years before this, it was Google Photos. I'm talking tens of thousands of photos in there, and they typically just sit there. In the last year or two, I've gotten more into some level of editing using Lightroom as an editing tool. Which I'll like to go back and pick out a few good ones of a get together and do some cropping and some highlighting and things like that. But for the most part, they just kind of get dumped into an archive and they sit there. And I
I
don't
know what
do
you
much
mean.
with them. We do have an Echo Show. It's this screen that hang. It's an Amazon Echo TV, basically. It's a digital picture frame. And we've got, at some point a couple of years ago, I uploaded my whole library to Amazon Photos because it was part of my Amazon
Yeah,
Prime
sure.
subscription. So they cycle through there all the time. And it's nice to see though. I highly recommend if you're into, taking digital photos and seeing them, which that in itself can be a struggle. What do you do? I highly recommend a digital photo frame of some kind.
Yeah.
Only if only for jogging your memory.
I am a huge fan of the digital photo frame. Can't get enough of those things. And ours broke. It just stopped
Oh no.
working not too long ago, and we miss it. I don't say this, well, I'll say I really, really like it. And it has been a phenomenal way of bringing those photos back into our lives. Old photos, new photos, selfies, posed vacation, especially photos of family visiting. And if someone is thinking about like, well, what do I do with all these photos on my phone? I cannot recommend a digital photo frame highly enough. Whether it's a smart frame like an Echo frame or just a basic one where you upload your photos via Wi-Fi, they are so nice at bringing those photos back
Let me
into
ask
your
you a
life.
question. I have experience with exactly one digital photo frame, and it's an Amazon Echo Show.
Sure.
And I honestly, I would not recommend it to someone who's looking for it, specifically for a digital photo frame.
Okay.
Because it's backed by Amazon and it's part of their Echo product line, they want it to be a do everything device.
I
You know, they
see.
want it to show your calendar, show your weather, show sports headlines, news headlines. But hey, you bought this a month ago. Do you need some more? It does those things.
That's too bad.
And I have had to put way too much effort into essentially hacking it to only show photos. Don't do all that other crap. Just show photos. Get off my lawn. Because that's what I bought it for. I bought it for mainly, well, we also like to play Jeopardy on it. That's our,
Fair enough.
which is so much fun. We'll put Jeopardy on it once a day. But otherwise, all I wanted it to do was be a digital photo frame. And I have struggled with it to be a digital photo frame, which is very frustrating. It's like, all right, Amazon, I pay you a subscription. I bought your hardware.
Quit
Can you please
hassling
just show me my photos and don't
me.
do all your other Amazon
Oh,
stuff?
that's not gonna
So,
happen.
with that in mind, do you have a particular brand or
That's a good
kind of
question.
frame that you like? I mean,
So no, the brand I have, I actually don't recommend. It's a Nix Play, Nixplay, because they apparently have a habit of just shutting off. Ours worked for years and then it just stopped. No amount of plugging it in and unplugging it can resurrect it.
dang.
And the same happened with the one we bought for my wife's parents, and it just like stopped working. So I don't know the right answer. I know Lexar, like the memory, the SD card company, they just recently came out with their own line of frames. It's Wi-Fi enabled, but so you don't have to put an SD card in. You can if you want to, but I've heard they're quite good. But I don't have one that I'd recommend, but I do recommend the concept of a digital photo frame. And my answer to the question is similar to yours. Mine, I use Lightroom Classic, which is it's like the desktop based version of Lightroom. It does do cloud syncing, but it's not cloud first. Like yours is cloud first. So my photos live on my computer. Like it's literally my computer. Not even in the cloud. Photos on my phone live in the cloud, but photos, like almost 200,000 photos of the past 2 decades, live on my computer, and they're backed up to a couple external hard drives. But from there, we put them on the digital frame, and I've got a lot of them tagged with people, like facial recognition. So if someone's birthday is coming up, I'll go through and find a one or two photos of Phil and send them off to Phil. But I find the most value in these photos of friends and family have taken after time goes by, and we'll go back and we'll specifically look at those chunks of time. Because I've got dozens of albums created on my computer in Lightroom of when families come to visit. And so we will pull up one of those albums and look through those and just take an evening and remember those times. But there's something that you and I there's a common through line here of something that neither one of us do, which is social media. My photos do not go online. In fact, I have recently I've been on a Facebook purge. So I shut down my Twitter account. Like I deleted my Twitter account. I deleted my Instagram, which I never used for personal family photos anyway. I used it for like pictures of plants and stuff. But I deleted my Instagram, deleted my Twitter. The only social network I'm still on is Facebook, and I've recently gone through and like literally one by one, because Facebook doesn't do a mass delete, I have deleted hundreds. All of my photos on Facebook are now gone. I think I saved one as my profile picture, but I'm on this Facebook purge where I'm like, I am so over modern social media. Like I told my wife, it's just not fun anymore. And I realized over the years that when I would share a photo online on, let's say, on Facebook, it took me a while to admit this, but I wanted external validation for the value of that photo.
Yep, hundred
So
percent.
I would take a photo, you guys would come visit. I mean, I'm not remembering, this is not a specific event, but this type of thing. Like you guys would come visit, kids be doing something, we go to the children's museum, they'd be playing with something. I would take some photos, put them on Facebook, and then I spend the rest of the day, how many likes did I get? How many hearts did I get? Did I get a comment? Ooh, did someone say something witty? And then like, I need to respond to that comment. And suddenly the value of that experience of just happening like that, the fact that our kids are playing together with no photo at all, like that experience has value. If there's a photo of it, great. Then we can remember that experience. But the value of that experience in my mind should not be tied to external validation, people online giving it a thumbs up or some form of quantifying the value of that experience or comment. And it took me a while to get over that because it feels so good when someone clicks like on your photo.
That
And
is
when, you know what I mean?
as two grumpy old men who are, don't use Facebook and Twitter anymore. I don't want for anybody, who's younger and is listening and or, I shouldn't say younger. But who does that and who gets joy out of that? I don't want you to feel like we're saying that that's a bad thing.
Right.
Because
You
it's
do what
not.
works for you. It's
If
fine.
you feel validation by sharing your photos online, then by all means do it. And I think there is a place for it. But I think you're right that there's a fine line to walk in. Are you sharing your photos on the internet to relive a memory, to share it with people who didn't get to see it, to tell a story, or are you sharing them for some kind of personal validation, like the likes and the comments? And I think that there is a balance to be had there. And I don't know, to each his own. You figure out what works for you.
Yeah, and for me, I have learned over the years that I respond in a way that I don't appreciate for me. I don't like that I will put a photo online and then wait for other people to find value in that. I want to find value in it for my own sake or for
And
the
I
sake
used
of
to be
my.
the same way. I haven't used Facebook in probably 5 years. But I absolutely felt the same way. You create something and you want that attention. Might not be quite the right word. But you want the stars and the hearts and the likes and the
Yeah,
comments, and it
they
makes you
feel
feel good.
good. There's no denying it. So that's. This is what I do with my photos, and it's also what I don't do. I don't put any photos on social media. I used to, but they are literally all gone now. And to like I'm on board, like fully agree with what you said. If someone else gets value out of that, fine. Like you do what works for you, as long as you're not hurting yourself or hurting someone else. But that's my approach, and it sounds like you're kind of on the same page as well.
I mean, there are situations, and it's not social media though. Like social media being things like the Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Anything that has kind of a public face to it, I tend to just not use those things.
Except for a
Except for,
podcast and
well, yeah,
YouTube for
but I mean,
the
I don't use them
podcast.
for that kind of validation. You know,
Right,
I had
right,
that phase. I absolutely had that
right.
phase. But for things like texting or WhatsApp messaging, Signal messaging, things like that, I really want to be able to get to photos very quickly and share them on things like that. We are part of several family group chats, and if a if a topic comes up and I have a photo or two that I want to share, I want to be able to find them quickly and get them shared, because it's a private group. You know, it's not just putting it on the internet. It's, you know, maybe there's a private chat of the 30 cousins that we have, and
Sure.
someone mentions the trip we took to wherever, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I know that I can go and find some photos and post them there, and that I want to be able to do. I want to be able to find my photos quickly and get them and share them in cases like that. And that's, I suppose, that's something else. And there's, I feel like we're probably running up against the time, but
Yeah, I think
there's
so.
one. There is one thing I realized recently, and it's a struggle that I've had for a long time, and I'll probably struggle with it forever, is organizing photos. I believe we actually did a full episode on this back in season one,
We may have,
of how do we organize these tens of thousands, now hundreds of thousands of photos. And I've tried to find the balance between just dumping them all into the archive, and then maybe just like searching by date, or, and the other side of that is, okay, here's a folder for the year, here's a folder for the month, here's a folder for that trip, here's a folder for this sport on this day on this field. That tends to be too much work for me. What I'm getting at is, one thing that I've discovered recently is grouping photos by recurring event in one place. So there's a specific example of this. There is a wonderful local little pumpkin patch near here, called Roca Berry Farm. And we've been going there with, my wife went there when she was a kid. Her
I
and her
think I might
cousins
have,
would go there.
yeah, it's
And
familiar. It sounds familiar.
we have taken our kids there ever since they were born. And we went this year. And afterwards, I just unloaded a bunch. I took my camera and took a bunch of photos and unloaded them all. And I realized that I could just go into Lightroom or whatever software it may be and make an album of just Roca Berry Farm. All of it. Doesn't have to be by year. Not, don't have a folder for every year or an album for every year. I did have to find the dates. So I had to go and search every year going back to before we had kids, October. I would just go to the October. And oh, there they are, and drop them into this Roca Berry Farm album. So now I have one album with, I don't know, a couple thousand photos only taken at that place.
That's cool.
And that is an idea that it has never crossed my mind before. And then, like, the next day, I sat down with my wife, and I didn't tell her what I had done. And I was like, here, take a look at this. And within like 30 seconds, we're reminiscing
Yeah,
about,
that's cool, Phil.
oh, did we miss that year? How come we didn't go? Oh, that's right. The so and so was born then, and we had this other thing going on. And oh, there's that neighbor kid that went with us the one time. And oh, there is him doing whatever. We wouldn't have seen those if we weren't just, hey, can I see the pictures of the pumpkin patch from last year?
Got
No.
it. Yeah,
You just,
that's good.
so that concept is new to me. And I'm going to keep working on it. So I would like to do one of Oklahoma visits, you know, because I think that then it's far easier to relive or reminisce about an experience if you can get to it more quickly. So instead of doing something so granular like Oklahoma 2020, Oklahoma 2019, you know, separate it out like that. Just, it's something that I came up with, and on the first try, it seemed to work pretty well.
I like
So I'm going to
it.
keep going with that.
Well, Phil, this has been good. We've covered a lot of ground. I feel like It's good to hear how other people approach this. And I know we said this at the top, but I'll say it again. For anyone listening or watching, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well. And leave a comment below, but not because Phil and I need that sort of external validation. Like, I'm just curious what you guys think. Where everyone's got different opinions on this. So anyway, Phil, great episode. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And
All right.
again, to echo what you said, I do enjoy engaging with anyone that does comment on like on the YouTube video of
Yeah.
these. When we started season two after a 5-year hiatus, I think we made it very clear that our goal is just to hang out and talk about this stuff. And these
Yeah.
conversations have become very enjoyable for me. I love bouncing this stuff off of you. I love doing these talks. And if we get people online that want to watch and listen, and then they have contributions or questions, we love that.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Thanks,
You
everyone.
bet. All right, we'll see you next time.
See ya.